Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to TruthWorks Network, the Black Voice Collaborative on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham. TruthWorks Network, speaking truth to power from the river, the rock, and the tree.
Thank you for being with us. Our number is 347-838-9852. Our chat room is open, and we are awaiting all of our audience here at Our Common Ground, part two. And for those of you who are just getting here, welcome. The Vaxar is here and in charge. We're just waiting for all of you who can get to us. The Vaxar, I hope you're doing well tonight, and that Millions is doing well. I'm waiting for my co-host, Alpha, who will be with me shortly. Our number is, our call-in number is 1-347. Sometimes it takes people a little while to get here. Tea Party Vets is here. Our number is 347-838-9852, and we're going to give our co-host a little chance to get on board here. excuse me. Sometimes it takes a little bit. Let me he's outside enjoying the weather. You know, it's interesting that you say that in the Vaxar, because it is hot as all get up in Boston. And tonight, right before our first segment, I had to run down to tomorrow. And I do want to say, and I know he's listening, tomorrow is the love of my life's birthday. He is actually going to be 65. He doesn't look 65. He looks like a robust 50. He behaves like a robust 50, playing golf every day and sometimes twice a day. And he is absolutely the love of my life, and I want to wish him a very, very happy birthday. And that I'm doing this tonight does not mean that I am overlooking how wonderful it is to have him in my life, and how many, the many, many years, the 34, 35, 36. Oh, Stephen, it's been wonderful to see that many birthdays with him. It's really interesting, in more than 40 years, well, maybe about 39 years, I have not had but three of those years in which we have not been able to celebrate his birthday or my birthday together. And he's just a wonderful, he is the most wonderful man that walks the planet. And I wish him many, many more. And I'm so glad that he has become health conscious and looking at his eating and taking care of his health. We have three wonderful children. To know a man, to see a man grow up and prize family and his role as a man and a leader in the family. So happy birthday, honey. I know you're downstairs listening. I know you're listening to this show in one ear and listening to whatever you're watching on TV in the other ear. And I do understand, and yes, we're going back to radio. Still, I'm going to give people a chance. We really didn't think that we were going to do this tonight, but we decided that it was an important thing. So we're going to give people a chance to really... And I don't know. I know that Tea Party Vet is going to give us a call, and we'll finish the discussion that he was involved in. You know, for the time that Navaxar has been listening to Our Common Ground, I don't do the panel thing. I think it that when you, I like to. Talk to the people who call because many times people call and they have a lot of things that, you know, that an opportunity to really even sometimes reset their thoughts, the way they look at things based on what else they have heard on the show. So... We're going to give people as much time. We're going to give people about 5 minutes to get in here and see. We've got Chicago Stepper, Navaxar, Tea Party Vets. I'm still looking for Alpha. Chicago Stepper, would you go down the street to the burger place and find? No. You don't have to go to the burger place. Go to the chicken place and find out if Alpha took a back road and a stop or two, and then we can move this buggy along. We do have 2 hours that we can spend, but we're also going to be talking about Michelle Obama and her speech before the NAACP. I'm going to run this again.
You're listening to TruthWorks Network, the Black Voice Collaborative on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Grant. TruthWorks Network, speaking truth to power from the river, the rock, and the tree.
Hello. Yes, can I ask a few questions about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone. Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
Not available? Hello, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about the apartment on Park Street.
Just been rented.
Hello, I am Chen Ling. My name is Khalid Bin Ali.
I'm Tuan Bo.
Hello, my name is Moshe Goldberg. I use a wheelchair.
It's gone.
Not available.
All right. Thank you.
Hello. Yes, can I ask a few questions about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
Been rented.
Oh, it's gone.
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
Not available?
Hello, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about the apartment on Park Street.
Just been rented.
Hello, I am Chen Ling.
My name is Khalid Bin Ali.
I'm Tuan Bo.
Hello, my name is Moshe Goldberg. I use a wheelchair.
It's gone. Not available. All right. Thank you.
Yes. Hello, my name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
What is?
Yes.
Really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call us. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law.
You're listening to TruthWorks Network, the Black Voice Collaborative on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham. TruthWorks Network, speaking truth to power from the river, the rock, and the tree.
And we thank you for being with us here tonight at a special Saturday open mic. I was trying to wait for Alpha to get in because he's my co-host tonight. And he hasn't been able, I think he's going to have to shut down his computer and come back in. That's one of the problems with internet radio. But we're going to start up, if we can, we're going to go to, I think this is Tea Party Vets. Are you with us, Rujan?
Yeah. How are you?
Okay. Let me put you on hold and see if this is Alpha for a minute.
Okay.
Let's see. Alpha, is this you?
Yes, this is me.
Okay, we got you. And we're bringing in, we tried to hold off, but we're bringing in Tea Party Vet. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you so much for being with us. Now, we left off in this conversation where you were talking about you felt that your individual that it took priority politically over everything else, and specifically because in the audience people are talking about why are you a black man in the Tea Party movement?
Because like I said, it's a situation where I don't walk lockstep with anyone. I mean, I hold my own values. I hold my own views. And the color of my skin doesn't dictate, my ideology. And that's the bottom line. I mean, if there was a situation where I leaned toward, something else, progressive maybe, or Green Party or something like that, then I would be that just as passionate as, what I am now. But that's not the case. But now the misconception is, the misconception that I always run into is the fact that because I'm involved with a Tea Party and because I'm a conservative, that means I'm not concerned with the things that other black people are concerned with. And that's not true. I'm well aware of racism in the community. I'm well aware of certain quote-unquote inequities that may, you know, exist. But the thing is, I have been an activist for a very, very, very long time. I've been involved in early childhood education for many years, particularly in the Head Start program. And that program was formed in 1968 and is one of the more successful programs to come out of that the set of programs that were enacted by Lyndon Johnson's administration, you know, in the Great Society. But that goes unnoticed when you get involved with another organization like this. So, I don't know.
Wait a minute. You said what goes unnoticed?
Well, I mean, you know, when you get labeled as something, you know, the works that you do in activism, you know, the only thing that I've noticed certain individuals see is the fact that, hey, you're a conservative, or, you know, you're involved with the Tea Party. As a matter of fact, there were several boards that I was on that I was the only conservative on there, and there were several boards that I was on that I was a chair, and nobody knew that I was a conservative. And to that end, I guess, since they didn't know, they didn't really care, but they assumed that my politics was the same as theirs. But we worked together to get the job done, and that was the bottom line. You know, we had a goal. So,
What is it? You see, you're going against the grain of the thought processes created by the experience of black people living in a white supremacy culture.
I guess that to me is the biggest disconnect. I mean, for me, I don't see myself living in any white supremacist society. I see myself living in an American society. And I guess that's the biggest difference.
Come on.
Difference. I mean,
you know, I think this is exactly what Aronde was talking about when he was talking about having an intellectual honesty about this. There are very few people who understand the nature of white supremacy that would decline the truth that American society is cultured in white supremacy.
Well, see, this is the same argument. This is the same argument that spawned the NAACP. I don't know if you realize that or not. This was the same argument that Du Bois had with Booker T. Washington.
Yes.
Booker T. Washington wanted to approach this from the standpoint that, you know, we're in America, we need to do what we need to do to survive in America. W.B. Du Bois wanted to approach it from an intellectual level. And trust me, there's nothing wrong with it being an intellect. The problem comes in when your intellect and your theory interferes with what you have to do every day.
Well, you know what, but the thing is that there are many black people in this country who, one, don't understand the nature of race and how it works in this country. Two, would not accept the notion that they live in an environment of white supremacy, but they don't go join the Tea Party movement.
But the thing about
that's
it is,
where my disconnect is coming.
Rather you call it the Tea Party movement, or rather you call it or something else. The bottom line is this: you know, there are some things that have occurred in the African American community that shows that the community is broken. Okay, now if you allow me, okay, 57% of all abortions committed last year were committed on African American females. And over 93% of...
Wait, hold on. This is my show. You're not going to get away with putting out bad information.
What I'm saying is this.
Rujan.
You asked me. 57%
of all the abortions were performed on African American women. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I did say that.
Where did you pick that up?
That fact came from the Center for Disease Control. It's in their database. It is readily available in their database.
Okay, let's talk about this. Wait a minute.
Allow me. I don't buy
that statistic, okay?
No, listen. Trust me, I would not come on your show and give you a stat that's not true. This is the truth, and what I'm saying is this, okay? If you got a situation where your population, now this is one that's fairly bad, you can't
have an argument based on bad facts.
No, this is not a bad fact. I'm telling you, this is something that I'm telling you is the truth. It is factual. It is 100% factual. What I'm saying is, when you got a situation where, and when you got a situation when your birth rate is less than your death rate, okay, when you've got a certain amount of your population, more of your population that is living below the poverty level, you've got less and less graduating every year. And the ones that are, and I'll use South Carolina as an example, they've lowered the standards to such that you've got more graduating, but those that can graduate do not have the level of education. Now, they can even read on a third or fourth grade level. And see, those are the kind of things that I am fighting against here in South Carolina. Those are the kind of things that I'm fighting against.
And the Tea Party movement is going to help you fight this.
Of course. I've got plenty of friends.
Okay.
Listen, hold on.
No, you hold on because this is my show. I'm looking at the statistics because you're making an argument based on statistics that are not credible and they are not factual. Blacks, I'm reading from the CDC. Blacks do indeed have much higher rates of abortions than whites or other minority groups. In 2009, while blacks made up 17% of live births, they made up more than twice that share of abortions of 36%.
That's 36%. Now, you've got 30, that's in 2009.
No, that's 36%. Of all the abortions.
But 36% of all the abortions, but we only make up 12% of the population. That's a lot of abortions. If you got a million abortions,
you know,
that's 380,000 abortions
argument.
Out of a population.
It's a specious
argument. What I'm saying is this. It's not the fact that there's that many. The fact is there's that many abortions in our society. What is driving the American, the African American female, to want to go and get these abortions? What has happened to our family structure that wants them to go out and get the abortion? Where's the daddies in these babies' lives? That's what I'm saying.
Excuse me. We don't even know what the statistics are. But are you saying that now, you're a black member of the Tea Party movement because you oppose the number of abortions in the African American community, and the Black Tea Party and the Tea Party movement's gonna fix this?
I oppose abortions, period.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
But what I'm saying is this.
Apple, help me out.
I can't. I really can't. Tea Party vet, I've sat here and I've listened. I don't understand, and I understand you being against abortions, but when you place that as the center of why you are a member.
That's one point.
Okay, that's one point. Okay, but see, here's what makes this argument so specious. You come onto a platform with the Tea Party, and you want to say that somehow by you being against abortions, that they are somehow going to help the scenario, that they're going to help reset that thermostat in the African-American community that leads to this type of, let's say, this type of illogical approach to life. And it's an illogical approach to life because you come in and you speak about the temperature, and you chide at this number of 57%. Okay? Now, once you begin to put out these numbers and you begin and you say they're creditable numbers, Ms. Graham says, and she's reading from the 2009 CDC report, that it's like 36%, but then you switched and said, but we're only 17% of the population. You can't have it both ways. Either it's 57% or it's 36%. And then if it's 36% of all of the abortions, the mere fact that we are 17% of the population.
Originally he said 58%.
Okay, well, and see here, and everyone speaks about
Well, you're talking 2009. Can you check the 2008 figures, please?
The 2008?
Yeah.
Okay.
The bottom line.
What difference does it make?
You have found yourself
in minutia. Okay, you don't believe in abortion. You don't support it. You don't want your tax dollars supported, and your tax dollars don't.
I do not hold to the ideology. I do not hold to the ideology and the direction that this country is headed in, especially the direction of the progressive ideology. It's leading us to a Marxist society.
What progressive ideology? Give me an example.
Let's just look at it this way.
But you know what? The thing is, this is the thing, Tea Party vet, is that you have named yourself as a leader in a party that is essentially a white supremacist movement.
It is not a white supremacist movement. How can you take someone that wants to stand up for the Constitution and stand up for
freedoms? You're not standing for the freedom.
But you're talking about rights and freedom of the folks in this country, and say that it's a white supremacist movement. You mean to tell me that only whites believe in freedom in this country? Blacks don't?
Well, what are you talking about? Who is taking away your
freedom? It's freedom for them. And
who's taking away your freedom? That's what I don't get. That's what I don't understand when I hear someone saying they're standing for the Constitution.
But see, that's double talk. You're telling me that on the one hand, there's a system of white supremacy in America, and that system of white supremacy holds the black man down. But then on the other hand, you're saying you don't believe in the freedom? I mean, I'm not getting that. How do you believe
what
in the
you're
freedom?
Not getting is white supremacy is not about black people. White supremacy is about white people.
Well, I tell you what, there's 38 million of us in this country that have to live under that, what you call white supremacy, and I don't see anybody having to go through the back door.
You don't see anybody having to go through the back door. You don't see it now because it is progressing. It is going forward. And that is what has enraged so many of these racists in the Tea Party. When you say you don't see racism in the Tea Party.
Where are the racists at? Man,
let me put it out here for you. Mark Williams, he's the spokesman. He's the face of the Tea Party Express.
He may be the Tea Party Express, but let me tell you this so you'll understand. I'm in South Carolina. My organization is totally independent and autonomous from any other organization in America. You've got the Tea Party Patriots. They're totally autonomous. You've got the Tea Party in Virginia. They're totally autonomous. And see, that's the misconception that everybody has. We are not a political party. We are a movement. And everybody wants to take us and throw us all together in one big, nice package and say, okay, this is everybody in the Tea Party. They all think alike. They all say the same thing. And it's not true. I started the Tea Party Veterans. Our focus is veterans and veterans' needs and so on and so forth.
Hey, well, how are you?
You got others. Saying, you got others the same. That's the same. That do things a little bit different. But we are all part of a movement.
Let me get this straight. You are saying that you are separate from the Tea Partiers in Virginia, from the Mark Williams, from the Freedom Works AstroTurf Tea Partiers, but when you all gather, you all go to the same rallies, but you are all independent grassroots. When in fact, we haven't heard why haven't we heard about any Tea Party marches during this oil spill in the Gulf where everyone expects the government to clean it up? Why haven't we heard anything about the Tea Partiers? You're different from a Sharon Ingle in Nevada. You all are different from the Rand Paul in Kentucky. Well, I mean, you separate yourself and you want to get out there and say, well, we don't stand for that. But let me put it like this, just simply, and I use the same analogy. Let me finish this analogy. I use the same analogy. Don't take your garbage out. Put it in one room in your house, and within a week, it will contaminate and infect the entire house.
Let me put it this way. Because of this simplifying, and I'm going to tell you this, the Tea Party, anyone in the Tea Party, except for maybe me or Mr. Grad now, but hey, listen, when anybody criticizes or anyone has criticized the Obama administration, especially if they're white, the first thing that happens is they're a racist. It's the truth. They're not giving any credibility. It's not a matter of ideology. It always has to come down and play the race. Now, come on.
Yeah.
You guys got to give me something on this.
Well, I think that your understanding of what you're involved in is very shallow. Because
you call yourself
a Tea Partier, but
come on, guys.
You think you're in something else, and you're not. You know, the Tea Party USA with 61 million members is to return the United States to the states and the people to which the U.S. Constitution, as they define it, was written.
And now let me ask you this. What is your alternative? What would your alternative be?
My alternative sure as hell ain't the Tea Party.
Would you want us to live in a Marxist society?
You are here to explain to us as a black man what the Tea Party does for you as a black man. And, you know, the thing is, unless you're schizophrenic, unless you have some pathology, you can't separate yourself from being black.
I don't think that's going to happen. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I can't separate myself from being human either. But the thing about it is, I can operate within a society.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to differentiate between, you know, a person's color. I mean, at what point in time did we say, okay, the dream that Martin Luther King had, we are definitely going to separate ourselves. We're going to hold ourselves to a different standard because we no longer want to be held, you know, to a standard that recognizes our character, but we want people to see us by our color now. And that's all there is to it. And if you don't see us by my color, then there's something wrong with you.
That's simply not a problem. What's wrong with you?
Come on.
You do not understand the nature of how race plays in your life or anybody else's life. Rujan, I'm going to go to another caller. Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Rujan.
You're on our common ground. I don't know what else to tell you, Alpha, because...
Well, I want to say this about this conversation. You know, Rujan has been speaking with us for some time in India Declares Room and so on. This is not about beating up on a Rujan simply because he is heading a Tea Party movement. This is simply about coming to grips, coming to reality. If he believes that somehow this Constitution is going to steady and resurrect this nation, he's wrong. If they weren't out there beating this drum when George Bush was selected, if they weren't out there beating this drum when George Bush shredded the Constitution, this is what destroys their credibility. Their hypocrisy is what destroys their credibility. George W. Bush and their silence, their deafening silence. And don't tell me about, oh, we were out there because you were not just silent on it, but you did not have the promotion of Fox News and the right-wing think tanks, the Freedom Works, the Heritage Foundation, American Enterprise Institute. There are huge dollars backing the Tea Parties. And what Rujan seems to not understand is he is going to be the first casualty when it comes to what their agenda is. He will be the first casualty and left in the lurch.
South Carolina.
Well, you lie. Let's start with you lying, Joe Wilson. Let's go to DeMint. It's his Waterloo. So, and the level of racist, vitriolic rhetoric.
Then the option is Alvin Green and his bobblehead action toys. You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham, and he's Alpha. And we're going to go to 954, you're on the air. I respect you. Hotep.
Hotep, I was hoping you would have let Rashawn.
No, I don't do panels. Aronde, you know I don't do panels. Okay.
Well, you know, first of all, he says he's from South Carolina. That right there says a lot. South Carolina is the biggest embarrassment to this country, along with Texas and New York, you know? And for any man, he sounds like one of these Jesse Peterson, Roy Master type clone, Roy Box. Because I was listening to him, and then I really picked up on a lot what he said. I wanted to ask the cat,
one of the things,
what was he about
that,
before he became a Tea Party? What was he about if he thinks that that you're individualism. No one has individuality in on the earth, really, honestly. So that's a misleading statement right there. We are a conglomeration of our intellect, of spirituality, and what we've been brought up as. And if he thinks he's an individual and he clicks into the Tea Party, that tells me a lot right there. So I'm hoping he'll call back, because believe me, I will deal with him. And I really suspect he's with Jesse Peterson and these cats from Foundation of Human Understanding. I'm familiar with that group. There's nothing wrong with it, but Jesse Peterson was a big disappointment and an embarrassment to himself and even to white folks that they think they can have these kind of pseudo scared-to-death Negroes out here that can sit up here and talk about their Tea Partying. What were you about before the Tea Party? What was your life about before that? Answer that question, let alone try and explain being an individual. You understand?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things is that, Aronde, that happens is that people have experiences which lead them to either be followers are leaders. And sometimes when things go wrong, as they do, you know, people get hurt. And it's some hurt black people out there.
I can understand that.
You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I want to say something that Dr. D said, and sister was very on point, the Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, and you talk
only
about
white folks acknowledge the Stockholm Syndrome, and that really became out of the Patty Hearst deal with the Lebanese army here. But we knew it as the Willie Lynch and the Black Codes as being descended of slaves that have gotten through this to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, Dr. Deese was very on point with that. And I want to deal with the brother Rashawn. I mean, he was a Marine, so
yeah,
he said.
Yeah, we're you're not trying to beat him up. I'm trying
no,
to
No, I'm not. And I'm trying to bring the brother focus. If you were a soldier, then you know what time it is. I'm going to talk to him like a soldier and a man. So, you know, whether the audience can tolerate me, that's
and
beside the point.
He's not out there by himself as a black
No, he's not. That's a sad point. That's a scary point.
You know, and I have to, I do have to say, Aronde and Alpha, that Jesse Lee Peterson.
Jesse Peterson.
While,
I knew this brother personally. That's why
yeah,
I bring him up.
He has a pathology.
I know where he got it from.
But at the same time, Jesse Lee Peterson can tell you exactly why he stands where he stands.
He hasn't, as far as the last few times I heard him speak on the media, he has not. When I spoke to him, matter of fact, how I got to meet this brother in Los Angeles was through Roy Masters. And Jesse Peterson was a student of his, if you will, and he created Bond, a brotherhood of another destiny. And that's how I got to meet Jesse Peterson, through Roy Masters, who I used to listen to on, was it KABC AM
yeah,
back then, when
yeah,
I lived out there from 88 to 93. And I went to the Rodney King thing the whole bit when the city was under curfew.
I mean,
so that's how I got to meet Jesse, and I met him off of Manchester. And we used to go to his meetings.
Okay.
And then Roy Masters split and went up to Grants Pass, Oregon. So that's how I know Jesse Peterson.
You know, there are political leanings on every side of the spectrum, from every community. But you know, one of the things, if you go back into Greek history, if you go back into Roman history, if you go back mm-hmm, into Hebrew history, one of the things that you never find is that people who go against the grain of the collective of their own people. Now, Rujan can argue the point about the Tea Party movement but not being a racist, an ugly, hate-filled movement and people as much as he wants. But one of the things that we know that most of the people, the 61 million people who have signed on into the Tea Party of the United States are looking for states' rights. They're looking for to deliver on the contract from America to the steps of the U.S. Capitol, that whole nonsense. And they are looking for this country to roll back human and civil rights.
That's on the surface, and I'm going to say this, because when folks were either Garveyites or believed in Daddy Divine and Daddy Grace and Reverend Ike or even the Nation of Islam, you know, they weren't talking about killing and destroying people. They were saying, shit, if we can't be here peacefully, let's separate. Let's have our own here. They didn't want to go back to Africa, so they said, let's have the South and y'all have the damn North, and we would live in harmony at whatever degree. Separate,
yeah.
Who was it? Harold Cruz that wrote the book. And man, it took me like a month to read that book. That's how deep this cat was. Plural but equal, something like that. Harold Cruz. And when Dr. Kenneth Clark and not Kenneth Clark, Dr. Ben and anyway, it'll come to me. When they were talking about being collectively conscious and understanding where we are coming from and what we're about, and it wasn't talking about destroying and killing people. We're talking about standing up for ourselves and defending ourselves. Now, if we had to separate, then let us separate. But we were still, as a nature of our people, live here on this soil that come here as descendants of whoever they want to classify us as. We were
yeah,
talking about living in harmony if we have to separate ourselves.
Yeah.
You
well,
know,
I've got
that's
another
the truth.
Call, but
okay,
you're absolutely
you.
Right. And we've got, we, you know, I have this feeling that if we look around, as Aronde said, you're talking about expats, no Pats, and the Pats, and never been to Pats. Am I right, Alpha?
Absolutely. When you begin to you find a need to separate yourself from exactly who you are, and I have to say, Tea Party vet, ex-Marine, very successful in his education, very successful in his profession, and it seems to trigger that disconnect with where he comes from, where his history has been, and his history. I mean,
these
I can understand
who
it.
Show a disdain and an intolerance for people who are not like them. Alpha, let's go to 248. You're on the air at Our Common Ground with Janice Graham and Alpha. Good evening.
She got that dog. She's got that dog with him. Oh
Alpha, I was
dog.
Trying not to laugh, and you just made me laugh.
Hey, Nav, what's up?
Hi, OCG. Hi, Alpha.
Hello, Nav.
Millions is fine. What I wanted to say, I know how you guys feel about this gentleman and his beliefs.
Oh no, it's not about him. Let's not get it crooked and twisted.
It is about
black people who get themselves involved in a collection of people who have with every message, every indication noted that they have a disdain for anybody that does not look like them.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from. And what I would like to understand from this gentleman, and I'm hearing how everybody else feels about the Tea Party and his association with the Tea Party, maybe that sounds a little better saying it that way. But what I would like to hear from his mouth, his words, because he mentioned about the, and I know what he's saying is true as far as the school system pushing, you know, especially our kids out without proper education. And he's saying that the Tea Party will be able to avoid that from happening. What I want to hear from his mouth and his words, how are they going to do that? And I haven't heard that, and that's what I'm trying to hear from this
gentleman.
But
the thing is the, you know, Tea Party Vet is in the chat room asking the question, are we saying that all white people are racist? I don't know what part of his Tea Party brain he pulled that from.
Well,
Nav
can't help you out. Nav
can't. That is typical of white supremacy response to people who challenge
white stand
supremacy.
Up and call them out and simply call them out for what they do. You know, when you make statements like, are you saying all white people are racist? That's nothing more than a distraction. That's nothing more than trying to change the conversation. You know, he wanted to say that Mark Williams is not expressive of all of the Tea Partiers. But he's in your tent. He's under your tent with the same name. And he called the president an Indonesian Muslim turned welfare thug, racist in chief. He called Allah a monkey god. He also said that Islam is a 7th century death cult coughed up by a psychotic pedophile. Now, if you can listen to someone speak that type of hatred, if you can, and it's just not Mark Williams, it's a group. It's a group. I mean, Hannity doesn't see the racism. Palin doesn't see the racism. He's a half-white president. You know, all they simply did was turned up the volume on the racism and the racist remarks when the NAACP came hat in hand begging a bigot not to call out a racist. And that's basically what you have here. When you can say that you didn't see, when the elected officials like Boehner said, well, I didn't see any racist signs, but he was 25 feet away from the sign with the Jews stacked up fresh out of the ovens at Auschwitz. When you have people who are simply intellectually dishonest and in denial of what's in your face, you have another racist leader of the Tea Party, and that's how he describes himself, as a Tea Party leader. When he has a sign, and he's even spelled the N-word wrong. I mean, at some point in time, you have to stop and say to yourself, wait a minute, who am I involved with? And I guarantee, you know, a Tea Party vet is in South Carolina. And if he doesn't see the level of politics, the level of racism that brings that state to a stench,
yeah,
that you cannot avoid. The smell is from one coast to the other.
You know, one of the things that we have to be clear about when we talk about the Tea Party, Tea Party vet wants to say, I'm the leader of a local group. We're not with the rest of them. The Tea Party movement is a United States movement that emerged in 2009, and it emerged through a series of local and national coordinated protests, and the protests are partly in response to some federal law, but it's mostly in response to a black president. And the name Tea Party is a reference to the Boston Tea Party, a protest by the American colonialists against various acts by the British government, as they're behaving as though, you know, somehow the government has moved against them. Let's look at the competition, the composition. Tea Party Express is a national bus tour run by Our Country Deserves Better PAC. It's a political action committee created by a GOP consulting firm. And if you want to know the consulting firm, I know one of the partners, Russo Marsh and Associates. The Tea Party Nation sponsored a national Tea Party convention February of this year and featured Sarah Palin, the idiot, the national idiot person, you know, and then you have the Tea Party Patriots and organizations with members across the country. The National Tea Party Federation was formed in April, and Rujan is saying that he doesn't belong to any of that, you know, and here's who the Tea Party has backed: Sharron Angle, Nikki Haley, Paul LePage when he was running for a GOP primary for governor in Maine, Anna C. Little, Diane Gooch in New Jersey, Rand Paul, Kristi Noem, and Tim Scott, who was specifically endorsed by the Tea Party movement in South Carolina. So I'm trying to figure out what Tea Party he's talking about that he's a member of.
And when you have these gatherings, they all show up, but they're so fragmented. There's such a diversity of different Tea Party factions, but they all show up at the same place. They all converge in the same house, and like I said, their garbage is just in the bedroom. The entire house begins to stink.
Nav, what's your counsel?
Well, I'm still waiting for an answer to my question, but maybe he's starting his own tea party based on what I'm hearing you guys saying. If he doesn't, you know, like he's saying, he doesn't care for Sarah Palin and some of the other people you mentioned.
You know,
he's starting his own.
But you know, if you're a black person and you're opposed to abortion, there's a black organization. There's another organization that's not the Tea Party that you can be involved in.
Well, it's strange to me. Go ahead, Janet.
If you want to say, well, I'm a conservative and I believe in the principles established by the GOP party, the Republican Party, and you can be part of that too. But the confusion comes when you claim leadership in an organization who, if probably three-quarters of the members would spit in your face if they didn't know you were one of them, then what?
Well, let me say this, and as I've said, there comes a time, and there will be a revelation. You know, part of the argument was, I'm opposed to abortion. Then you want to drag that ideology into it. Fine. If you're opposed to abortion, you're opposed to abortion. Abortion is the law of the land. So you're opposed to the law of the land, but you are a constitutionalist. And let's see. The law of the land set forth by who's going to make those laws, the courts and the Supreme Court, et cetera. Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. Roe v. Wade is, if you're a constitutionalist, you follow the law of the land. Now, you may still be against abortion, but Crazy for God, the author of Crazy for God, Frank Schaefer, when he said that it wasn't, they would say something in the one thing in the media, and in their gatherings, they would be plotting of how to take this down. Where is the constitutionality of taking this down? You know, there is no amendment supporting abortion, Rujan, but there is the law. The law says abortion is the law of the land. If you want to go back to the Constitution, if you want to go strict to the Constitution, there was nothing but an amendment that said black people should be getting the same treatment as equal treatment. And that hasn't been, served. That hasn't been, you know, you've been intellectually dishonest. When you want to sit and say, well, it's the Constitution. When the Constitution has been shredded, in the last 10 years, and before that, it simply wasn't enforced. It was in violation. You want to hide behind the Constitution, you're like a rock thrower that hides their hands when you have absolutely nothing to go by, because the government of this nation hasn't gone by the Constitution for 3, 4, 5 decades. You can go back as far as you want. You can scream and yell, Constitution, Constitution. But when it comes down to the Constitution, George W. Bush was not elected. He was selected. It was the law of the land. It was accepted by progressive liberals because it's the law of the land, and that goes by the Constitution. Now, all of a sudden, here's this president, and you don't agree with his ideology, you don't agree with his programs, so now all of a sudden he's Marxist. He's against the Constitution. He's no more Marxist than most of the teabaggers are, socialists, communists, and Hitlerists. So when you begin the specious argument, Hitlerist is a new word.
Now, let me ask you a question. Did Alpha answer your question?
Well, like I said, this gentleman has, you're giving him a platform to answer the questions we're asking.
Nothing.
Well, he has an opportunity here to answer the questions that, you know, people in the chat want to know.
He won't stay on the basic frame of how a black man gets so confused. This is like me walking out of here and going over to South Boston and saying, to the white, South Boston Council that I know is opposed to school integration, is opposed to black people living in South Boston, that's opposed to black people coming to the South Boston beaches, that don't want nobody to pass over that bridge to get to South Boston, who is anything other than white. That's like me going and applying and say, I want to be one of your leaders. It just makes no sense. And he hasn't.
Well, OCG, maybe the reason why it doesn't make any sense to him is because he haven't experienced what a lot of us, you know, are going through. And until he experienced that, then he will remain, you know, a Tea Party vet. But until then, you know, he's going to continue to be blinded. Like I mentioned on the India Declare show, he needs to remove that veil. And until then, you know, he's going to be in the same position.
Yeah, yeah. I have got to take a break. And thank you, Navazar, for trying to help us see this clearly. Our
thank
number
you guys.
Here
I appreciate
at Our
you
Common Ground is 347-838-9852. And we will take your calls. Thank you. I do want to say, Alfo, that, yeah, Rujan, Tea Party Vets, takes a lot of blows on this. And he should, because what is troubling is about this whole notion of individualism in the face of the principles of the Tea Party. And he admits that, you know, he doesn't see himself separating from his blackness. You're listening to Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, and with me tonight at Our Common Ground is Alfo of The Alfo Show, which you can hear right here at Blog Talk Radio, 3 p.m. Eastern Time each Saturday and 4 p.m. on TruthWorks Network. Here at Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a little break. It is 12:05 and 89 degrees in Boston. We hope you'll stay with us. This is troubling in a lot of ways. We'll be right back.
Listening to Our Common Ground, Saturday Open Mic Night. I'm Janice Graham. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Dear parents, much of what we learn in this world comes directly from you.
Whatever your message is, it will become part of us forever.
Please teach us to accept one another. Teach us to respect one another. Please, do not fill our minds with hatred. Do not expose us to bigotry. Do not teach us to judge each other by race,
religion,
orientation, or the color of our skin.
Teach us the concept of tolerance.
Teach us to understand one another.
Teach us to accept people of different cultures and persons with different beliefs than yours.
Please help us to create a world
where every man, woman, and child is treated equally.
Dear parents,
please don't teach us words of hate. We learn from you every moment. If you use certain words which might be hurtful to others, we will repeat that word. Please don't show us acts of hate.
If you act against people of different faith,
we will repeat your actions.
Dear parents, we are your children.
And we are relying on you
to help us create a world where every person is tolerant of one another.
Good. Answer the question, bro. I'd be anxious to hear this. I'm a black man from the North.
Okay. And what part of the question you want me to answer first? Why I would be a part of the party?
Well, that too. And why would the blacks fight with the South during slavery time, the Civil War time? What could have possibly have been said to black folks in the South to make them want to fight with the rebels?
I can't speak to that, but I do know this.
Well, you must be able to tie this into the Tea Party, because if you believe in that, you know, you might have some kind of intellectual honesty about what's going on with folks in the South who even still feel this way.
Well, you mean as far as a black person being involved with the fighting for the North or fighting for the South?
No, fighting with the South.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, once you make a conscious decision, and once you make a decision in your mind that you have to fight with a certain or fight for a certain ideology based on your color, you've lost. Because if that be the case, that there's so many white folks that fought for civil rights that would have been totally ostracized in such a way that they wouldn't even be welcomed back into their own family units and so on and so forth today. It's kind of
history did document that. Go ahead. No, I'm
but
sorry.
The strange thing about it is, when you talk about being intellectually honest, when we have a tendency to say that the only way a black man can think is to be a liberal or to be, you know, of a progressive ideology, or to be, you know, any type of ideology, whether it be Republican, progressive, or anything, and that we got to have this group think, and we can't be individuals, that's when we got a problem. That's when the problem comes in.
Watch closely. You're about to experience a nigger moment. Webster defines the nigger moment as a moment when ignorance overwhelms the mind of an otherwise logical Negro myth.
And thank you for being with us here at Blog Talk Radio at Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, your host, and co-hosting with me tonight is Alpha of the Alpha Show. Our number, 347-838-9852, if you want to get in on this conversation. You know, Alpha, I'm still trying to get my arms around black people being involved in the Tea Party movement. And by the way, according to a New York Times CBS poll, 18% of Americans identify themselves as Tea Party supporters. And Tea Party supporters were 89% white, and 1% black compared to 77% and 12% of the respondents in this particular poll. But some interesting things came out of this poll. 54%, this is not surprising, that 54% of Tea Party supporters have a favorable opinion of the Republican Party compared to 38% of the general public. That 30% in this poll of the people who identify themselves as Tea Partiers think that President Obama was born outside the United States compared to 12% of the general public. And the interesting thing is, now this is the most interesting thing, and I was surprised that the New York Times or CBS got into this particular question. And this poll was taken in from April 5th to April 12th, and there were 1,580 U.S. adults who were the respondents. Listen to this, Alpha. 25% of those who responded as identifying with the Tea Party think that this administration, meaning the Obama administration, favors blacks over whites.
Well, that's Glenn Beck talk. That's Rush Limbaugh talk.
This is what I'm talking about. This is part of how our entire political discourse has been poisoned by these people.
Well, this is the room with the garbage in it. And this garbage is in their house. And if they can't smell the stench, it's because they don't want to smell the stench. If you cannot see that when people are polled, and these are the beliefs that Obama's not a citizen, the birthers, you got elected officials trying to be coy with what they're saying. And, you know, when you would see black people who stand with these types of people, and what, they simply don't go in the room with the garbage and simply smell the stench that has basically infested the entire house. The garbage is all in one room. But they don't want to go into that room. They don't want to go close to that room. But they want to be in denial about exactly who they are and exactly what they are aligning themselves with. And therein lies the problem. There is the rub when it comes to intellectual honesty.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, it's almost like if I decided that I wanted to be a member of something that is so totally against my interests and the interests of the people that I care about. Oh, and by the way, I do want to say before he falls asleep, happy birthday to Stephen. Today is his birthday, 65 years old, and running like a brand new machine. Happy birthday!
I thought tomorrow was his birthday. I really thought tomorrow was his birthday.
We just hit 12:16.
Okay, well, it's 11:16.
It's
11:16.
Oh, that's right.
So you all celebrate the new year too, you know, early.
You know, and the thing is, you know, here we go again, and I wish is the same old response. I tell you your shoes need shining, and you tell me that my shoes need a new soul. Yes, happy birthday, Stephen, with a PH. Navaxor, I will pass that along. Navaxor is wishing you a happy birthday. Alpha, I'm glad to be with you tonight. I'm glad to see Doc Don is with us. The whole gang's here. We've got Donna of Empowered Women, and I had a very good night with her on Friday night on her Blog Talk Radio show. And for those of you who want soothing feathers, moving the spirit within, you should definitely check out her show. And Old Sarge is with us, along with Navaxar, and we have a guest and Tea Party Vets, and we thank all of you for being with us. I think it's really hard to figure out how people do their thing.
Well,
but one of the things is that strikes me, I think, is that people can get hurt. They can get injured in this kind of venture. And that's how we lose a lot of people. People try on all kinds of hats, and when they know anything, they've tried on a helmet that they cannot get off. So I think that, you know, we could we need to do this. This really comes from the U.S. System of education. It comes from our church. It shows a failure on the part of many of us that someone would feel that the only way in which they can express and integrate their political principles is to get involved with the Black Panther, to get involved with the Tea Party. See, I'm not going to get into that conversation with you, Tea Party Vet, because it's two things that have really settled in my head about this whole situation. One is you don't know very much about the Tea Party movement, and you don't know very much about it. So that means you really wouldn't know anything about the new Black Panther Party and who all five of them are. How about that, Alpha? Alpha, I got something for you. You want to make a comment?
Okay. Well, I'm
going to get off of this.
Well, okay, before we get off of this, just let me say this. You can come out here and compare the new Black Panther Party to the level of somehow the only reason that it's a story is because Fox has put it in a loop. They've spent 95 segments, over 9 hours, on the so-called new Black Panther Party that this basically represents a speck of police dust. And for, you know, those who aren't familiar with the song, that's exactly what they are. The Black Panther, the new Black Panther Party and the vitriol that they basically preach, we're talking about, all five of them. And they've been basically debunked by the new Black Panther Party. They have simply turned into an fringe, they're not even a fringe group. That's, you know, and then here's the rub on that. They were at an Obama campaign site. No, they were at a polling place. And you need to get it right. You need to get the facts right. They were at a polling place. One of these members was a certified poll watcher. And he's standing there, and the other guy came up, and they had nightsticks. Now.
Yeah, but here's the bottom line. It was a 78%. African-American polling place.
So who were they intimidating?
One of the people who was one of the two new Black Panther Party members voted at that polling place. The other is 98% of the people who voted at that polling place voted for Obama.
So where is the rub there? Or is this just another distraction?
Yeah.
What you call the false equivalency. You want to perpetrate or propagate.
Damn, you're getting heavy on me, Alpha. The false
new Black Panther Party. The new Black Panther Party somehow is supposed to be equivalent of the Klan, the skinheads, the Tea Partiers. Somehow you want to bring that equivalency. Come on. Give me a break.
This is what I mean about
intellectual honesty.
If you understand exactly who the new Black Panther Party is, you wouldn't even bring it up.
Exactly.
You wouldn't bring it up.
And what did he say? They were posted at the Obama presidential campaign.
Your own community, you wouldn't even bring it up. You got to understand.
Well,
I'm not even going there. But, Alpha, I got something for you. I think I want to take a little break, and when we come back, you know, it's the summertime. It's been hot. I've been thinking about vacation. Alpha, you been thinking about vacation?
I'm always on vacation. Jesus. What are you talking about? We're talking about semi-retired here. I ain't got no job. I ain't got no boss. I ain't got no time clock. I ain't got no job. I ain't got that. Come on. Y'all go to work and be happy doing it. Pay your taxes. Pay. I don't want my taxes going to the military industrial complex, but it does. So what am I? Am I supposed to be out there with hot cocoa bags or something?
Yeah.
Complaining about the, and 51% of our budget goes to the industrial military complex, but yet you have these sorry teabaggers yelling about some Marxism, some type of takeover by socialists, and this is madness. And
madness.
And I think I know old Sarge from one of the previous shows.
Oh yeah.
If I'm correct, he's a former veteran. He's a veteran, and he's a former law officer. But Obama wasn't elected; he was selected. That's nothing more than irrational talk.
Yeah.
Because
the equivalency,
it's a false equivalency
of the new Black Panther Party to the Tea Party, the TPers. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about vacation. We're going to talk about, one of the things that Cornel West, Alpha, said recently that really has stuck in my brain is that that we have to figure out ways in which we can support our president, respect our president, but correct him at the same time. And I didn't get over here in time to bring in the Michelle Obama clips and what Faux News is saying she said that she did not say. And we're going to deal with that at another open mic. But our number is 347-838-9852. You're listening to Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, and my co-host is Alpha of The Alpha Show. We'll be right back.
Listening to Our Common Ground, Saturday Open Mic Night. I'm Janice Graham. Thank you for being with us.
And we're back. Our number is 347-838-9852. I know on the other side in the first segment of this show, many of you called, and we certainly welcome your calls again at 347-838-9852. That's how you get to talk with us. I don't know how many of you have had an opportunity to read Jeff Winbush. Jeff is a blogger on many, many subjects, and he does a lot of discussion about the notion of how we can really support our president and at the same time be corrective in terms of the where he wants to go with some of these policies. I think that there are a lot of people, Alpha, who are very concerned about how this president has dealt with the impediments before him. And, you know, it's, you know, and so I really suggest that, you know, all this, the fall of Obama, and it's Obama's fault too, that he hasn't been able to rally and inspire the nation from its fears. But people have to realize where their fears come from before anybody can, it seems to me, can comfort them. What say you, Alpha?
You know, Janice, when you get off into that neck of the woods, I get to a point where I it gets repetitious. It gets, you know, I get to say it over and over again.
You know, sometimes I just want this president to come out and say, hey, people, calm down. I got this.
Yeah, but you know,
every
I look
day there's another poll full of nothing but bad news for this president. And at some point, you know, we've got to have his back, too.
Well, like I said, you got a health care bill that is not what everybody wanted, especially his base. He has a problem with his base because at some point they've got to go come to understand that because of the Dinos, because of the conservatives, the Blue Dogs, and the lockstep party of no, they don't want to do any. They don't want this president's agenda to go through for anything. Now, one of the things that I could have really understood was the Democrats becoming the party of no after the 2000 selection by the Supreme Court of President Bush. You know, they killed that vote, and let's not revisit the whole thing, but he was selected. He was instantly selected by the Supreme Court. Incidentally, that was stacked and hand-picked. Well, basically right-wing activist judges, but let's not really get into that. But if there was ever a time to stand up for the Constitution, people like Rujan, people like these conservatives who simply speak and preach about the Constitution would have been up in arms over what happened in that particular election. If you get a consensus of people who simply look at what happened in that particular election, and then you can have someone come in and say, Barack Obama wasn't elected, he was selected. That is nothing more than that tit for tat, that juvenile schoolyard back and forth of, well, he did it, so I did it. You know, there was nothing intellectually honest about that statement. Obama wasn't elected, he was selected. That's nonsense. That is utter nonsense.
You know, you look at the American public, according to some polls, the Washington Post, ABC News poll, public confidence in the president hit a new low week before last. 4 months before midterm elections that will define the second half of his term, nearly 6 in 10 voters say that they lack faith in the president to make the right decisions for the country, and a clear majority once again disapproves of how he's dealing with the economy. But pardon me, I'm not pulling my hair out about it and running around screaming in a panic. His poll ratings are in the toilet. The Democrats are going to get slaughtered in the fall. Oh, gee, golly, hell, I'm going to die and all my hair is going to fall out. Whatever will we do and what will become of us? As far as things go on a cosmic scale, this ain't worth a fart in tornado. It's the Domino's pizza theory of politics. We want it within 30 minutes or Barack Obama is a failure.
What he promised, they're all about what he promised. They're not about being intellectually honest about what he's been up against. He's been up against people who simply don't want him to succeed. They hope he fails.
Why is that, Alpha?
They hope he, it couldn't be because of the color of their skin. They're all race neutral.
Oh, no.
All of them are race neutral. No, they're all, this will be his Waterloo with terms like old slave terms. We'll break him. This will break him. And for those African Americans
who
cannot
understand race in this country, just what you just said, Alpha, for people who don't understand the nature of race in this country, and that's for black people, white people, purple people, if you don't understand that that is the language of racism and white supremacy.
We will break him. That's what they used to say about uppity slaves. We got to break him. That's like breaking a wild horse.
Well,
and
you know,
for people
you know
who
what my bottom line
don't speak
is,
that.
You know what my bottom line is on it, Alpha, about the whole thing? Is, you know what? If anyone was foolish enough to believe that any politician, even one as brilliant and charismatic and smart as Obama, was going to walk into the White House and turn Bush's Halloween into Christmas, they deserve their present disappointment. I said it before, I'll keep saying it, and it bears repeating. Barack Obama is not your Santa Claus.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, let me put it like this. When you have people who would rather or prefer to go to specious talking points, he said that unemployment wouldn't only go to 8%, and now it's at 9.5. It went to 10. What in the hell are you saying, that somebody somehow knew that the economy, how bad it was? Somebody knew about all of the unregulated moves done by Wall Street, and somehow somebody already knew about the mess that's been left in our regulatory system. Yeah, blame Bush. They still blame Hitler. They still blame Charles Manson. They still blame Bernie Madoff. If he did it, he did it. This cry wolf, oh, you're blaming Bush. You're blaming Bush. Well, what? Bush did it. Bush did it.
We got old Sarge in the chat room who is saying that you blame racism, you blame the man, you blame your neighbor, blame the man, blame everyone but yourself. You cannot take the truth. You are weak-minded. This chat room knows better, and by the way, you are the joke. Well, you know what? You are the joke. Because if you can see other people blaming people, blaming those things, then why can't you see the truth about the dismal nation that this man inherited, the dismal government that he inherited? You know.
Well, old Sarge is a I think he was a state trooper, so. Old Sarge is tainted by that thin blue line. He would rather go with that with that law enforcement mentality. This is, you know, synonymous with those murderers on the Danziger Bridge. This is synonymous with shoot that black man while he's face down in the back and look the other way. Old Sarge seems to be one of those African-American law enforcement officers who was basically indoctrinated by his power. His military background, his beliefs. Nobody is coddling any criminals. Nobody is looking to side with people who do wrong and break the law. But when you get a society that's hell-bent on the heavy-handed justice that's been meted out, you get to a point where you stop being relevant. And when you get to that point...
This is what I say. Is that people keep wanting this president to be what they project him to be, saint, savior, superhero, or evil. He's simply a politician and a talented and brilliant one at that, but a politician nevertheless, and no one who walked into office with more messes to clean up than this president has in my lifetime, and I'm well over, but make no mistakes, Obama has allowed them to lay this mess in his lap, and they are Obama's messes to clean up, but he's certainly going to need more time than the typical man in the street is willing to give him, and I'm sure that the president is concerned about the restlessness of the nation, but panic? Not much point in that. I don't either. He doesn't even know if his opponent in 2012 is going to be Romney, Palin, Jindal, Huckabee, Pawlenty, Gingrich, Barber, maybe I shouldn't say it, Alfo, Hillary, or Snooki.
Let's vote for Snooki, okay? Let's vote for Snooki, and maybe we can get... maybe we could get some real voters, some real, you know, Jersey voters out there. You know, let me look at it like this. I look at it like this simply because it always takes twice as long to clean up the mess that has been left, especially when you have obstructionists in one side of the party and these right wingers, these Tea Partiers who can't see the obstructionism, who can't see that this nation has been grinded to a halt by this obstructionism in the Senate, and they would prefer the country to go down. How does the Tea Party and how does the conservative side address the denying of unemployment extension? Do they believe that the unemployed people are all lazy and don't deserve unemployment extension? I mean, you've got business in line with the Republicans that are simply sitting on the money. They're not going to hire. They're going to turn this country into total chaos. And then they're going to rush to the microphones and rush to the willing cameras to decry it's Obama's fault. It's Obama's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got people who don't know what right wingers are, that's you're exposing your idiocy. You're idiotic. You're simply idiotic. I'm not a real name caller. But when you are that willfully ignorant about what right winger is, now you want to spin this. You want to turn this talk into the definition of a right winger. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Our number is 347-838-9852 if you want to join in this discussion. Hey, Alfo, I got something for you. It's kind of I want to share it with you, with all your friends. You know, it's like having a party for somebody. You want them to open up the present while everybody's watching so you can see their so you can see their reaction. But here's something for you.
You're listening to Alfo on Truthworks Network, the best
of political pushback.
Go for it, Alpo.
Janice, who was that?
I thought you'd have a great appreciation for that. Some little J's hanging in here on a Saturday night, on the Saturday night chat at our common ground. Alpha, I do have to tell you, I think you're doing a fabulous job with the Alpha show. I knew you had it in you.
Well, Janice, don't go too far with the, because I can quit at any moment. That's the way I feel. I can quit doing this today. I mean, at any moment, you know, if anyone who knows me, they know I have been an unrelenting critic of how this president does and how he responds and how he fights back, you know. And when you can, you know, this bit of he's not for a lot of confrontation. Well, somebody better be for confrontation, because he's being swift-boated on a daily basis.
Yeah,
you've got people, speculation, opinions, crystal ball gazing, these juvenile bedwetters who come to the forefront and haven't been right about anything. What has Liz Cheney ever been right about, and what gives her credentials to step up and speak about anything when the only thing she has in her repertoire is the fact that her daddy was vice president, and her daddy, she got that job through the nepotism of her father having that position. She has absolutely no credibility, because she's got the same amount of credibility as a Sarah Palin. I will say that she has more depth than a Sarah Palin, but not much. You know, and those people those conservatives who like Sarah Palin, and as opposed to those conservatives who don't like her, you can't have it both ways. Ignorance is ignorance.
You can't. And, you know, one of the things is that we're dealing with a media that is so slanted. They are so afraid of losing their advertising dollars that, they are doing anything but telling the truth and fighting back on the lies. So, you know, we've got to, you know, and I can't get off this Tea Party thing, you know. Let me go back to that a bit, because one of the things is that we got to be clear about what it is we are defending ourselves from. You know, Alpha, it's hardly a secret in or beyond the black community that the majority of black people are conservative, if not ultra-conservative, when it comes to morality, parenting, work ethic, homosexuality, gender roles, and the like. And any black person that resides on the far left of the political spectrum, as some of my friends do, bear witness to this reality. And I, for one, have the scars to prove it. But the plain and simple truth is, beyond race-centric issues such as racial profiling, police brutality, economic discrimination, and institutionalized, I hope that old Sarge or new Sarge and some folks are writing this down. Because the race-centric issues for black people are, I'll do it again, racial profiling, police brutality, economic discrimination, institutionalized poverty, and the overabundance abundance of legal and judicial oppression. Black folks' politics align rather closely with people on the right, if not the far right, on a lot of matters. So I guess the, as we close out this Saturday night open mic session, the question is, why aren't throngs of black folks flocking to the Tea Party? Now, I know, Alpha, you might answer because they love Barack and Michelle Obama.
No, because that room is stinking. That room is stinking. That's like them going.
But if you said, if you said because they love the Obamas, you'd be partially right. But the other glaring reason is that the Tea Party, which is comprised primarily of disgruntled GOP purists, come off more than not as apologists for racist behavior. Even if I said that, rather than saying because they are racist, apologists for racial behavior. But a dramatic case in point is the response that the Tea Party recently exhibited toward the NAACP's condemnation of perceived racist elements in the movement, namely the blaringly derogatory depictions of Barack Obama as an African witch doctor, monkey, Hitler, and coon on handmade signs and now billboards that are frequently and prominently on display during Tea Party rallies and gatherings.
No, those are just his policies. Those are just his policies. Those are all about his policies.
Yeah,
he's a socialist. He's, you know, all of those.
Yeah,
give me a
socialist. He's a, you know, but rather than engage the NAACP's claims seriously, as we experienced here tonight, Tea Party spokesperson Mark Williams responded by calling the NAACP racist. Why?
Right.
You might ask, are you asking me why?
No, I know why. Because this is what you do. This is how you do it. You accuse people of what you are most guilty of. And this
but
is
Mark
the tactic.
Mark Williams, that's not Mark Williams' reason. He said because they retain colored in the organization's official name. This is the same Mark Williams that, until recently, had penned an open letter on his website mocking the NAACP and black folks at large. In the letter addressed to Abraham Lincoln, Williams cast African Americans as mindless, bootlegging, Tea Party haters.
Oh, no, 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 no. He didn't say
that.
Just ask the Tea Party. No, no, no.
He wrote it in the letter on his website. And worse yet, he plays upon these age-old stereotypes of black folks. I wonder if he thinks that Tea Party vet or old Sarge fit this. Stereotypes of black folks as welfare-loving, social parasites. And in one of the letters he wrote, I got the letter right in front of me, he wrote, the racist Tea Party parties also demand that the government stop the out-of-control spending.
The government's out-of-control spending, yes.
That means, Alpha, that we coloreds would have to compete for jobs like everybody else, and that is just not right.
And that's assuming that the playing field is level. You know, I've said it over.
I don't want you to go off and say that this was a racist document, because the question is not whether this is a racist document, but how can any rational person argue otherwise? And that's what we face with Tea Party vet tonight. If the question is not whether the Tea Party movement is racist, and the answer from the black people involved in it is no, but how can you, they cannot argue, a rat, you know, it's like the, in law we use this thing called the average man, the rational person principle. But
well,
how can any rational person argue otherwise?
They would rather tell you that black people enslaved black people too.
Oh, yeah.
They would rather change the entire narrative and speak about something else rather than answer the question, and that's what we witnessed earlier today
on
my show.
You've been using a lot of big words tonight on me.
I got my dictionary open. And I got the page turned to $33.94 words, see?
Okay.
So I got the dictionary open.
I want to say to our audience, we need to be clear. This is not about supporting or defending the NAACP, a group that, in my opinion, has a less than stellar history when it comes to color and caste bias. But William's comments are offensive because they are racist, not because they attack the NAACP. And I want to leave everybody with this, Alpha. As for the Tea Partiers that don't espouse this type of thinking, and I'd like to think that there are more than a few, it is high time that they speak up. For if they remain silent, and Dr. D said it in the chat room tonight at TruthWorks, silence is consent. If they remain silent and allow Williams, if Rujan and Old Charge and whoever other black people are involved with this movement, if they remain silent and allow Williams and his ilk to speak for their movement.
Oh, they're not a part of that chapter. They're not a part of that piece. They're just in the house with that garbage in the room, so they're not a part of it.
Well, then those individuals who remain silent have lost more than the black vote. They have lost all of their political integrity.
So don't
tell me about the Constitution. Don't tell me about abortion rights. Simply don't tell me anything, because you have no political integrity remaining in an organization.
Well, when you get those people,
that is offensive to black people, including you, and racist, not because they attack the NAACP, but because they support racist behavior.
Well, as I said, Janice, and I know we're about to wind this up, aren't we? We got about 5 minutes left.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me simply close by this. You know, Don put it best about, and Dr. King said it, about the silence is betrayal. Silence is not just betrayal. Silence is betrayal of your own conscience. Silence is betrayal of your own morals. The fact that you remain silent and you don't see this Tea Party rhetoric as being racist simply says a lot about you. Simply says a lot about how you think, and simply says a lot about what you are willing to fall for and what you are willing to stand for. Because if you can't see the racism in this movement, you will fall for anything. And that's where they are. They want to talk about them individually and what they, oh, they're not with this organization, they're not, but they all go to the same mass rallies. It's like being in the same house with the racism stuck in one room like garbage. And the stench is so high up your nose that somehow you've got a twist down the end of your tongue.
I got a what, Alpha?
Twist tie. You know, that's that twist tie that you have up the end of the garbage bag. Come on, stay with me.
Mine come with things.
stay with me here.
Well, I simply want to end the show with something that I think is very, very true, but not true for the people who come to our common ground. Because this is essentially, this is race talk. And we thank you for being with us, Dr. Don Navazor. We thank you for your calls, Chicago Stepper, Donna of Empowered Women. We thank Tea Party Vets and Old Sarge and Dr. Deborah, House Music Lover, who was with us. And Alpha, I especially want to thank you. I want to thank you for your contribution to the Blog Talk community, as well as to your participation in Talk That Matters, whether it be at the India Declare Show or whether it be at TruthWorks Network or whether it be on your own show every Saturday at 3 p.m. You've been listening to Our Common Ground at TruthWorks Network here at Blog Talk Radio, where we speak truth to power and ourselves. Thank you for being with us. Have a good, good end of the weekend and a wonderful, wonderful week. And we'll see you next Saturday night right here at Our Common Ground. And I'm hoping that I can drag my host, Alpha of the Alpha Show, right back with us.
Yeah, kicking and screaming. Kicking,
yeah,
and screaming.
Kicking and screaming.
Good night.
I'm Janice Graham, and this is Our Common Ground.
You're listening to Our Common Ground, Saturday open mic night. I'm Janice Graham. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you still there?
Because we're simply off the air, but we're not. The phone call is still. We're not airing.
I could call you for free on Blog Talk Radio or something.
You can call my Skype account. I don't know what'd be wrong with you. You ain't never online. You don't never show up. I don't know what's wrong.
I don't even think I put Skype on this new computer.
Let me put it like this. I've got you. Can I have you in here? Yes, I do. On vacation.
I know.
You'll be back Monday. Thanks for the warning.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm tired now. But that boy is a confused. He is so confused.
Well, he can't answer the question, and when he can't answer the question, he goes off into his position on abortion. He goes off into are these sideshows that, you know, he somehow, he cannot defend his position because it's untenable. And it's untenable when you get right down to it. You know, you didn't put Skype on the new computer?
I don't think so.
Well, you got Skype on the old computer.
I know, but the old computer.
And you ain't never online.
I know.
You ain't never. We can talk for free on Skype. All you got to do is download it on the computer.
I know.
And then we would have.
I don't even know my Skype number.
What?
I don't think I even know my Skype number.
I tell you what. Punch in.
Punch. I ain't punching on my brand new keyboard.
Punch it in and quit complaining. I already wanted to.
How do I close this chat room?
You exit out. And
I went out of the switchboard.
You out of the switchboard?
Uh-huh.
Then the chat room should still be up.
It is.
Then exit out. Red exit out, and then it's gone. It'll still be open for everybody else. Don't ask me how. I haven't figured that out yet. When did I put? Oh, that was March 4th, Thursday. March 4th, 2010. Alpha left you a message. Call me on Skype. I'm still waiting.
When was that?
Thursday, March 4th, 2010.
Uh-huh. And I was on there?
No, I left you a message. Call me on Skype. But by then, you had gotten that new computer, and you had just kicked the old one to the curb.
I know. It's really
sad. I even got what's his name on Skype? Perry Steele. He don't call it Skype. His country ass calls it Scappy. Yeah. He calls it Scappy, and somehow somebody's supposed to take him as intellectually serious? Really? What are you, eight? I mean, there's a level of ignorance. There's a level of, as you call it, ignorance, especially with people like Rujan and Old Sarge. Old Sarge is nothing more than an old military man who's been indoctrinated by that military ideology. I'm surprised he's not Blackwater. I'm surprised he's not a mercenary with Blackwater at this point in his life.
Yeah.
I really am, because that's where old soldiers go. They go to a far better place where they can freely murder, where they can freely, you know, wreak havoc and have their way. And that's the bottom line with them.
That damn Deborah Napier, she can never stay up. God, I don't know how she get anything done.
Is he talking to her now? I'm looking at my son and my ex-wife are talking, and I get suspicious when they talk.
Uh-oh. It was a good show. You had a good talk radio. Did you like that new thing I did for you? I love that thing where it said, did you get the file?
Yeah, I got the file. I finally heard it. Who was the voiceover for Go For It Al? What was that?
That was me.
I figured as much. I'm like, no, she wouldn't have got somebody. She did that herself.
All I had to do was speed up my voice.
Okay.
You know, speed it up with the computer, with the program.
Okay, so you all are into that, you know, into that.
I've been sitting here.
You what?
I've been sitting here doing nothing but audio files almost all day.
Well, that that tune I had you transfer, you know, it's kind of in my head now. It's kind of so catchy. It's
Colby.
It's kind of like Andre's tunes for all of the shows that he, you know, that he did, you know, songs for,
uh-huh.
that he intro songs for.
I can't find my intro song.
What intro song? Our Common Ground intro song?
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Is that the one with the that sounds like a fall over a swamp and the slaves singing the church music and heart. Is that the one?
Yep.
Quit looking for it, okay?
Wait a minute. The Wall Street Journal has an article. I'm telling y'all, Hillary Clinton for president. America's economy is failing to produce jobs. Increased growth are raised confidence and will likely get worse next year.
Well, that's
blah 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 blah.
Do you think that black people are going to support her?
Shit, if they all like Rujan.
No, really. Do you really think that black people, that she can run, she runs and defeats Barack Obama in the primary. Do you think black people are going
to
come out and vote for her?
Listen to this. We don't know whether Mr. Obama is already thinking about making this kind of change next year, but we do know he needs some very good policy outcomes to be reelected. And if none of these Obama changes come to pass, Mrs. Clinton could put together a very effective campaign to get the nomination for herself. Considering how badly things are going in America just now, that could turn out to be a slam dunk for her and the disgruntled Democratic Party.
Well, of course it could. Of course it could. And I can see the Black Caucus falling in line with her.
Mm-hmm.
I can see all of the Democrats who supported Obama going, well, we've got to do this. This is for the Democratic Party. Then all of a sudden, you're supposed to go along with it because it's the Democratic Party. I guarantee you, black people will abandon the Democratic Party, and Hillary Clinton will lose, and the Republicans will regain the White House. And I can't tell. I would be one of the black Democrats who crosses over to vote for anybody other than Hillary. Because at this point in time, I can see it being what it is. This is a concerted effort by the Republicans and the Chamber of Commerce and big business and corporations to strangle this nation in unemployment and high unemployment and fear and people not having jobs to get rid of this nigga, period. And if I get any type of format to say it, I will say it just like that. Because that's all this is business in conspiracy with the Republican Party to get rid of this black president, period. Then it'll be about, then what do you have? You'll have him standing in lockstep with Hillary, you know, voting against Hillary. That's all you're going to have. So you're going to replace one socialist with another. You're going to place this. You're going to replace
yeah.
one socialist with the author of NAFTA. No, the Republicans will win the presidency, period, because black folks will not support her. They will not support her because they will feel betrayed and double crossed. This isn't about what happened in the primary with the first primary with Obama and Hillary. He beat her fair and square. This is about the backstabbing and the betrayal, the treachery that this president has faced. People like Russ Feingold, Dick Durbin, the whole nine yards, this in and of itself would be the straw that breaks the camel back when it comes to black voters, when it comes to blacks in this nation. They will stay home. They may not vote for a Republican, but they will stay home, and that could spell disaster for the Democratic Party. And if Tim Kaine and all of those, you know, and Obama refuses to take leadership in the Democratic Party, this is his undoing. That's all this is. This is his passive approach. You can be a pragmatist, but you don't have to be a chump too. You don't have to be a coward. And that's exactly what it turns into.
Jesus. Well, there it is. I've been asking about it for months.
Well, we'll see. We shall see, but we shall see.
I know. Well, I'm about to go downstairs and take me a dirty girl bath.
TMI.
Do you know what dirty girl soaps?
TMI.
I always say that.
TMI.
Ben Carnes, you know the Native American Ben Carnes?
Right.
His wife, Kitty, makes a soap line called Dirty Girl Soap.
I done purged that from my... I thought that was one of them porn sites that you get on Facebook. I thought... No. Yeah, but they pop up on Facebook and on Twitter. Girls looking for, you know, I mean it's internet prostitution. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And when I saw Dirty Girl Soap, and I'm like, come on, and I deleted it. I deleted it as a friend. So I hope my headset worked. I might even try it on my show next week.
It did. I wish my goddamn headset would work. Mine can't work. But why is it that when I go into Blog Talk, it doesn't let me call in with my headset? It has Skype, and I can't seem to make
that
go away.
When you plug your headset in, the UBS to your headset?
Uh-huh.
Go to options and go to audio settings, and you might have to adjust the UBS. It probably has audio it gives you a three different selections, and one of them is UBS.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to set your UBS. The hell is this?
What?
The hell, they just added $10 to my Skype account credit? And I had $1.99 left?
They took it off your credit card?
I guess, because, I mean, before my very eyes, it just went from a dollar, it just went, notification account has been credited. Yeah.
Okay, so this lady. Do you have to be logged in to, let me see if this works, because I want this. Who are these people that come on Blog Talk Radio? It says Blog Talk Radio, not music radio.
Well,
this lady is playing music.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to see. So, if I click this, don't say no options. I don't hear nothing either. It's not giving me the options that you're talking about.
Where? On Skype. On Skype. You pulled up Skype?
No, I don't have no Skype.
But you didn't. You got to download it to get Skype.
Where?
Skype.com. And then you download it.
It might be my telephony related programs is empty. Oh, I see. You have to do it in Skype. I thought you did it in. So everybody say Skype now.
Everybody what?
Until I've got the Skype account, mine always said dial in.
Well, it's gonna it'll have that Skype box, and if you click on it, it'll dial it, you know, right up, and the Skype window will come up. You don't even have Skype downloaded.
No, I know.
Yeah, so what are you talking about? What are you trying to do if you don't have Skype downloaded?
I don't want it to say Skype. I want it to say what it used to say.
And you keep getting the same thing. Why are you being resistant to downloading Skype?
No, but this is what I'm saying. What happens for a person that doesn't have Skype?
Just what's happening to you. You're
so
having problems.
Blog Radio is forcing people to have Skype?
No.
Okay, so I click that and I'll have Skype. Then what do I do?
Nothing. Ain't nothing you can't call. You can't get no...
I used to be able to call before I had Skype.
You used to be able to call what?
I used to call India's show on...
Oh, okay. But that's... You got to go to Play Chat then.
I don't think that's true, Alpha. Okay, let me go to some... okay. So if I go to, let's see, find me a show here.
Find you a show.
Damn, there's so many. I was looking for that pink lady. Remember the lady that was in the chat room?
Yeah, Pinko whatever. Pinko, she's a right winger.
She is?
I would say yes. Hold on, Janice.
And how did that damn...
Hold on, Janice.
Love Talk Radio. I think it's never about who's first. I think it's about who's best.
That's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
That's how advertising works today. There's no such thing as new advertising. All advertising ideas have already been done. Kind of like wrestling angles too. You know, they've all been done to some sort, but it's not about what's been done.
Okay, Dennis.
I figured it out.
You figured it out.
Yep. If you go into your profile and you've set it up for a Skype number, that's how that thing comes up.
What?
That's how that thing comes up. If you put in a Skype number and they see it's the Skype number. Okay. Okay. Are you following me?
No. Are you kidding?
In your account information, they ask you about a telephone number.
Is that under edit my account?
Yep.
Okay. Let me go to that.
I still see that, shit.
The Place with Friends Radio Network?
Yes, we are, as a matter of fact.
It's still coming up. It's somewhere on here where you put in you have Skype. I gotta have in here where I have Skype, otherwise. Content. Notification. Email. Notification. Password, settings, profile. It's got to be in here somewhere. Okay. It put it back in here for some reason. Why did it put it back in here? Save all. Now let me see. We're always figuring out some damn, like, we ain't got no life or something.
Radio. That's a good thing, you know, I like to put a...
Blog Talk Radio.
It still says Skype.
And I wanted to put this up.
Shit.
See, most of your shows that you would go to, say, Play Chat, there's a part there
that
says Play Chat.
Yeah, I just went to that. Oh, and you notice now, Sarge hasn't always been nasty. He was being nasty tonight. Did you notice that?
I really didn't.
Yeah,
to me, Sarge is one of those house niggas that just, you know, he's governed by the thin blue line now. He's always, to me, he's always represented himself as being that ex-veteran. Like, you know, let me put it like this. These folks who want to stand and hide behind their, you know, their status as veterans, you know, because that's, you know, that's like, that's like arguing in America. That's like arguing against Jesus. you know, especially a non-veteran, you know. So, of course, they hold that I'm a veteran card out there, you know, and we fought for this nation and all of that. To me, that's just nonsense. Okay, that you volunteered. You chose to do that.
To me, that ain't nothing but guess what?
What?
I ain't had nothing else to do.
Right. You know, it's been about it somehow made you a man or made you a better this or made you a better that.
And then
didn't
do a damn thing but make you spew propaganda.
And really, it simply indoctrinates you into that mindset, into that way of thinking, that conservative, you've got no self-opinion. You have, you know, you go by what you are told to do. And that's what they bring out of the military. To me, that's what most of them do. They go in, they get indoctrinated, and they come out with that, army of one and or something bigger than themselves. And when you get right down to it, you come and go alone. You die in this same way you came into this world, by yourself.
Well, these people are nuts. They are absolutely nuts. I'm still trying to figure this thing out. They should
give it up. Give it up. If you don't want to download Skype, I don't understand. Download Skype.
I would prefer
You would prefer to do what? Download Skype and quit fighting it. If you want to, throw it in the trash bin. You're resistant to nothing. I mean, why resist that? You throw it in the trash bin if you don't like it.
Throw it in what trash bin? That's why your damn thing is always so goddamn cluttered up.
Okay.
Shit in the trash bin.
Everything goes in the.
Do you know how huge that file is?
It's not like I'm about to use up my what's on my, you know, the gig availability, if that's the right word.
A gig is not. How many gigs you got?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, last time I saw anything referring to it, I had used maybe 12% of what was available. Maybe 12%. If it's not 12, it's more like 9% of what is available.
Mhm. Okay. Let's see. I'm still trying to figure this out. Because I don't want to call by Skype. Why should I have to pay Skype?
Well, forget about calling by Skype. Download Skype and connect with me as a friend, and we can talk for free.
Oh, you don't talk for free?
With my contacts? No, I don't talk for free. Right now, the hours that we just did, cause that's why they just re-upped my minutes.
Oh, I can do that. See, I don't pay for any phone calls. I don't pay for any phone calls.
Why not? With Skype?
I don't pay for any kind of phone calls about anything. I just paid the telephone bill.
What?
I don't pay for long distance phone calls.
I don't either. My long distance phone calls are zeroed out. That's why my little granddaughter's been got my phone melted here. With a little hot hands on it.
No, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I got this shit on my head. I don't use Skype. I don't worry about it because I don't have to pay for phone calls.
If
I don't
you
back
use Skype.
On my landline.
Yeah. The same with my landline. My landline is unlimited. Long
yeah.
distance or whatever, it's unlimited. I just pay the phone bill.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't pay for it. And when it comes to Skype, if you're going to call in, everybody I call on Skype is a contact of mine, so it's free. We do free video calls. That's how I'm able to see my great-grandson.
Uh-huh.
I see them on Skype as I talk and we talk. That's how I'm able to antagonize my ex-wife. On Skype. I get to call her, and when she don't answer, I get to leave her a message. How dare you ignore the call from your FM BFF MFEO.
Well, I know my daughter, you know, she don't like, she thinks I ought to be on call.
Well, of course. Of course she thinks you ought to be on call.
And she said, she came by here, and I was on the conference call, and I heard her tell her children, I guess we have to go. Who the hell is this calling me this time of day? Okay, I'm hanging up from you. That's you calling. Hello?